In the middle of December, when I was a child, boxes would begin to appear on the kitchen table to decorate our home. It wasn't until later that I began to learn that they were tucked up in the attic throughout the year, and they were taken down just for Christmas. As children, my brother, my sister, and I, we expected that the Christmas tins and the mistletoe and the beautifully decorated stuffed bears and the other Christmas decorations would just show up. That's how decorating works. You expect, as children, that it just shows up. This Advent season, we will unpack a few of our expectations, like the ornaments that we've brought down from the attic or perhaps up from the basement, like the ones for the Christmas trees, like the cookies or the stockings or the lights. We should expect hope and peace and love and the Christ child to show up this Christmas season. These expectations that inspire us and sometimes drag us down, the ones that cripple us as well as urge us on. We can't understand them, and yet we yearn for them. The expectations that are the reason that we set up the wreath and the nativity, the expectations that the season feels light and jolly, as well as heavy and hollow. We expect something more. We've given up and we can't hold anymore the expectations that are heaped on our head. These expectations are mixed. But I wonder how many of us expected that God would show up this morning to transform our lives. Did we expect God's hope to change the world? I think if we're honest, we're not sure what that hope really looks like. We stand watching and we stand waiting, but we're not really sure what we're looking for. Jesus called the disciples in Luke to be on high alert. So when you have a child who might get sick, you're watching, but often for the unknown. You're not sure what you're looking exactly for. When you take a test, you're waiting for the score. It's like when you think something might go awry, but you're not exactly sure what it is that might go awry. You have a feeling, but you can't quite put your finger on it. The Justice Porter Stewart, the former justice on the Supreme Court, described pornography that way. He said, "I'm not sure what it is, but I'll know it when I see it." We're not always sure what we're hoping for, but we'll know it when we see it. The prophet Isaiah spoke to the Israelites post-exile who needed to hear hope. The people Jesus spoke to needed to hear hope, and we are those people too. We need to hear hope in order to expect hope, in order to expect that God has and will show up. God is showing up and has been present. We've lit the candle to remind ourselves of God's incredible presence now and throughout time, to expect hope to fill our lives as we wait again for the coming of the Christ child. The prophet Isaiah preached to his own people who felt both hope and longing alongside one another, the Israelites were called to repent for their need for security over caring for others. You see, it's hard to hold hope when others live in poverty and despair. We might know something about that. Isaiah encourages them that there will be a time when war will be no more. There will be a time when war machines and implements of war will be changed into producing food and peace, even to sworn enemies. Now, prophets come from sometimes the most unusual sources. We didn't know how unusual Isaiah was as a prophet. We only know him as a prophet. But a 5-star general and former president could be an unusual prophet for us. Have you heard the final statement? You may have by this point, of President Dwight Eisenhower, who said this: "In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of the combination endanger our liberties or the democratic process. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of a huge industrial and military machinery of defense with peaceful methods. So security and liberty must prosper together." His longing and hope echoes the words of the prophet Isaiah. We need to be reminded of those kind of words in a time when military keeps growing and we feel less secure. Where are we being called to be alert and knowledgeable? We need to see where God is calling us to be an active part of hope. Sounds an awful lot like the prophet Isaiah as we hold on to the candle of hope. My friends, I need to share with you this morning that renewal leave is a regular part of a clergy person's life and of a church's life, and yet it had never been a part of my life, and it had never been a part of this congregation's life either here at Westgrove. And I know it had been a blessing. It has been a blessing to mine, and I pray it's been a blessing to yours. I'm eager to hear your stories, and I have mine to share as well. I'm going to share just one this morning, although medically the most transformative, perhaps the hardest to share as well. Since January, I was diagnosed with neuroendocrine cancer, and I chose, like many of us do, to just put my head down and keep going, not worrying about other things. I was able to have a procedure on one day and get back to work on the next. And I know, because I know some of you very well, you do the same thing as well. Just keep on swimming. I received excellent care and hopefully did pretty decent work as well. But that pace is emotionally and physically exhausting. And I've chosen a different path going forward. I hope some of you will hear that. Additionally, what stopped me was a scan that pointed to a tumor in my brain. And one doesn't keep going after hearing that. In fact, what you do is you pray, and you call on the body of Christ, and you keep praying. You all have been doing an awful lot of that, and so have the faithful people of the world. And you meet with really good doctors too. You do both of those side by side. And so seeking more information to make better decisions, another scan came after that. And incredible healing happened. Medical language, that which was previously there decreased. Our faith language, a miracle happened. Medical language, that which was previously there decreased. Faith language, a miracle happened. Now, that doesn't mean those who are still watching and waiting, God doesn't love. And those who aren't healed currently weren't praying hard enough. Please hear me to say this. It means in one case, together, we are seeing God work. And our hope, on a Sunday of hope, our hope is being built up. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. My story is still being written. Our story is still being written. And I'm currently in remission. Thanks be to God. I manage fibromyalgia every day, including some regular swimming in a well, thanks to the Lehmans. And I'm learning how to care well. Anyone who's known worry, anyone who's known concern or despair or fear, knows why this candle of hope gets her own candle. Because some of us brim with hope, and others of us need to share our hope with others. We need to outsource the project. We need to download the benefit of the hard work of others, because some of us don't hold hope naturally. Hope needs a candle of her own in order to remind us that God is still at work in the world today. And we need to look for God's transformative work in the world today. We hope for miracles, to change our world in small ways and in dramatic ways. But longing is when we have not yet the full realization of God's full power in the world. When we don't yet have the full realization of our personal pain and the world's pain. Advent is that longing where we are looking for the full realization of the kingdom of God on earth before the Christmas joy. I know that many of us know that kind of longing. Jesus called those of us who are hoping and expecting our lives to be transformed as if the kingdom was already here. Hope fills our lives. And Jesus reigned on high and told us to be on high alert. Look for the places that hope already is. We might not know unless we begin to look where hope is showing up. So I invite you this Advent, as clearly as you decorated the tree, and as clearly as you started to string up the lights, and as clearly as you baked the cookies or signed your Christmas card or pushed send on the electronic cards, to expect and to hope that God is here transforming the world, showing signs in little ways and in dramatic ways, miraculous ways, transforming the world here and now. Expect with hope that God is at work in your life and changing your life to be more like Jesus. Watch and wait for the miracles. Do expect hope. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.